Dear Diary, today is January 4th, 2025. I didn't get to talk to you yesterday because I had quite the busy day. I had to go do a grocery haul in preparation for the kids going back to school, and it's always quite a big deal. I have to go to two separate grocery stores. Costco and then just the usual, and it's just, it's a whole thing. So I guess I'll kind of be updating you on 2 days, or at least a day and a half. Yesterday, January 3rd, I woke up and weighed myself, and I was exactly 223 pounds. Yesterday was kind of an interesting day, too, because I had a conversation with someone, and it made me realize just how absolutely outdated the public's perception of diet or of nutrition and food and diet really is, and how crazy I can sound at times if one doesn't have a baseline understanding of even that which I'm talking. What really stuck out to me was this line: no, it wasn't your diet that gave you energy. What you were eating had nothing to do with what you were feeling at the time. And it's like difficult for me in current day to rationalize that there's some people who believe that. It's easy to kind of fall into our own little bubbles. And I guess once I started educating myself about food and nutrition and everything, I kind of assumed that everyone else was learning the same information. Especially because I do hear people I wouldn't expect to know this stuff. So I suppose I just assumed everyone did. Come to find out, that's not the case. And it's so not the case that there was this like mocking sort of combative, skeptical reaction to what I was saying, which was that keto did not work for me, calorie counting did not work for me, and the only thing that did was a very high protein animal based diet, and that it didn't just help me lose weight, it transformed the way I felt, which naturally transformed the way I lived on a day-to-day basis. Though it bothered me in the moment, I was like, I'm actually going to use this as motivation to prove that. Since technically, yeah, I've only got that 2 weeks or 1 month under my belt, and it's long in the rearview mirror, so that's my new mission, is just to prove it. Because I want people to know this. I see it as life-changing, and it could be life-saving. And yet, clearly, there's some people, probably those who need this information more than anyone, who don't know about it, or they're highly skeptical about it because of this outdated idea of food and nutrition. You know, this idea that the public was fed for decades. Steer clear of high fat. Steer clear of red meat. Watch how much butter, how much cholesterol, eat your veggies and your whole grains. And I guess in all fairness, I had similar skepticisms going in. One of the reasons that I have even avoided the topic of a carnivorous diet for the longest time was I was like, how sustainable is that? And how realistic is it? And these are just hyperbolic claims. But then when you learn about it, you learn that the claims supporting it are nothing like claims you will hear that support keto or vegan or lean eating or Mediterranean or whatever. It's like, that's why I say I don't want to categorize it as a diet. Sure, you lose weight, but that's not the reason for it. That's not its purpose. That's not its intended purpose, I would say. The whole point in it, as I mentioned before, was an elimination diet. To eliminate all the foods from our diet that we know are not serving us. Or to minimize the variables to detect what is and what isn't harming our body. And I guess there's a lot of people out there that don't realize the effects, say, sugar has on their body. They don't realize what it's doing to their body. I realized too, one of the main reasons that I did finally allow this information to pique my interest enough to grab my attention. Like, one of the reasons I did finally start considering this wasn't just about the weight, which, if you'll remember, diary, was not going anywhere, despite my hard work, my tracking, my calorie counting, my weighing, my exercise, my water consumption, all of this. It was also to do with hormones, because I got to the point where I started thinking, there must be something more to this. Like, why is it I know other people have been successful on keto? Why is it that I'm seeing Reddit full of people who are successful counting their calories? You know, they're eating lean. Like, I was eating the most bland and tasteless chicken on a bed of cauliflower rice with some green beans, and it was doing nothing. That on top of the daily exercise. I was exercising 6 days a week and nothing. And so it got to the point, I was like, there has to be something more to this. Like, what is going on with me? And I start thinking about it and I'm like, okay, I'm older than 35. I'm closer to 40. And, you know, perimenopause and menopause isn't that far away, you know, on the grand scheme of things. And I had to start considering that because I do know that family history would dictate that I will reach and experience perimenopause probably sooner than most people my age, most women my age. So I started considering how my hormones were affecting not just my weight gain, but my weight retention and inability to lose weight. And that's technically how I came across this animal-based, high-protein, carnivorous diet. It was under the context or under the pretense of boosting certain hormones, you know, changing the hormonal balance in one's body. And it was namely about, or it was namely targeting about women who were already in their 50s and experiencing menopause. Like, that was the first video I ever watched about it. And then I started listening to podcasts with similar messaging. And so I thought, at the very least, that's why I would try it, to see if it would have any effect on my hormones. And at the time, I was taking so many supplements. I was taking maca, ashwagandha, magnesium. Why can't I think of them all? I was taking a whole bunch of stuff. Namely maca, because I thought that was like, I thought for sure thyroid was my problem. And I do still think it is, clearly. I have an underactive thyroid, I would say. And then come to find out, I think they were right. Because of how it made me feel. And I just wish other people could experience that. Like, I wish there was a way to convey to others just how serious that change was. Like, how tangible it was, that I could feel it in my body. I could feel it in my body. It's, I don't know. I guess it's hard to explain, especially for those with outdated information. For those who think the food pyramid is still relevant. No, you got to make sure you've got a grain and a vegetable and a protein on your plate. And you got to eat 5 times a day. No. It's so, it's so wrong. It's criminal. Like, it's just so completely wrong and inaccurate. And unfortunately, it's done a number on people. And I realize food is not the only thing the public remains ignorant about, but nevertheless, I wish it was just as easy as, you know, you think about the diets of our parents, our grandparents, their parents. You know, it was like bacon and eggs every day for breakfast, butter, sandwiches for lunch. And then goulash, casseroles, mashed potatoes, noodles for dinner. But the times have changed. And maybe that's the biggest takeaway, is people just don't realize how differently food is grown and produced anymore. So, not last night, the night before, which would have been the night of January 2nd, I told you I was going to go and I was going to eat the same thing I ate the night before, which was true. I had a half a pack of bacon, I had 3 scrambled eggs, and about a half plate of ground beef. Again, I did it with the onions and the peppers. And woke up yesterday, 2:23. And then yesterday, I ran around doing this grocery haul, which was very much needed. I very much appreciate Costco in this sense, because I was able to go get, how much is it? I think it says 9 pounds. No, it's got to be more than that. 9 kilograms? Yeah, I think it's 9 kilograms of ground beef in this great big long sausage looking tube. And it's $50 with $5 off coupon, so $45. I come home and I divide that up into 1 pound packages. I use my scale, weigh it, cut these 1 pound chunks, put them in the bag and put them in the freezer. And it's perfect because then I can just pull one or two, however many I need, out of the freezer for dinner. So I got one of those, which provided me 12 bags. And then I get this great big huge tray of chicken wings. I paid $20 for that. And I got, I think it had 66 chicken wings in it, because I got 6 bags of 10 and then 1 bag that I could only put 6 in. Then I also get a big tray of chicken breasts. I get 9 chicken breasts. And so I divvy those up too. And this is just to tide us over for the next week or two. I'm hoping. I had some stuff in the freezer, so I'm hoping we've got enough meat for the family for the next 2 weeks. And I was so excited to come home and put this like fresh slab of ground beef in the frying pan. And so that's what I did last night for supper. Well, here was the thing. I got home and realized, crap, I forgot to get eggs. So that was out of the question. And I was thinking, what am I going to do? Because I also only had about a quarter pack of bacon left to cook, and knew that alone with the ground beef, it wasn't going to be enough. So I cooked a boatload of ground beef. I used almost the whole pound. No, I would say maybe I used about 400 grams. I didn't weigh it because I used some for the kids' supper. Probably about 400 grams. And fried that up the way I have been, except without the peppers. So I sautéed my onions first, then I put the ground beef in and cooked it all together. And then cooked up the quarter package of bacon. And just because I wanted some sort of filler, I contemplated diary. I contemplated making a package of these Asian Indonesian fried noodles that I discovered like 2 weeks ago that I find absolutely delicious. I got them the one day for the kids. Turns out half the kids don't like them. So I'm like, okay, I'll try them. And were actually delicious. Like, fresh out of the pot, they taste just like restaurant bought Chinese noodles, like fried chow mein type noodles. So delicious. And they come with this little package of chili, like sriracha sauce. And I contemplated making those yesterday because I knew I technically didn't have enough for my plate. And I worried that the lack of protein on my plate would mean I wouldn't get full. And I thought about it, and I was 2 seconds away from boiling the pot of water. I was actually filling the pot of water when I thought to myself, you just bought a bunch of green beans. Make some of those instead. Like, granted, it's not technically carnivore, but it's better than noodles, right? So that's what I did. I ended up air frying some green beans, French green beans. I put, I drizzle some melted butter on them and then shake a little bit of pepper medley on, air fry them. They come out kind of golden, crispy. I don't even know how to explain it. They're one of my favorite things ever. And I haven't had them since June of 2024. So I was so excited when I came up with that idea. I was like, yes, I will do that. And I made quite a bit because I knew they alone wouldn't really fill me up. They were more or less just the filler. And I'll tell you, I was hungry after I ate. The amount of meat, the amount of ground beef, and the amount of bacon I ate was not enough. It was not enough. I definitely needed a bigger portions. And so that's what I'm going to do tonight. I'm going to cook just a little bit more ground beef, a little bit more bacon. And again, I don't have eggs, so I'm either going to cook some scallops or I could do chicken wings. I could. I don't know. Either way, diary, I woke up this morning, January 4th, 2025, and I was 221.7 pounds. Now, this was the other interesting thing. That person I was talking to yesterday, this is really how the whole conversation started, was I told them how on January 1st, I was 225.3. And as of yesterday, which was only 3 days in, I was 223. And they told me, yeah, that's not, that has nothing to do with your diet. Now, granted, and I even conceded to that in the moment, I said, yeah, you know, like, it's obviously my weight's going to fluctuate for the first couple of weeks. 100%. I know to expect that. We have water weight. We have just weight in general typically fluctuates, especially if you're changing your eating routine and eating habits. Obviously, things are going to fluctuate. And I do agree that it's probably water weight, because I remember even last year at the beginning of January when I was doing the keto, I think I lost 5 pounds that first week. And that was so exciting about it. And then for the rest of the month, I only lost like 2 pounds and then no pounds until the middle of February. So I get it. But I just thought it was worth pointing out how, I believe the reason I'm pointing it out is because I notice the advantage of already having the experience with this. So there was no real finicking and playing around with what I was going to eat. I kind of know what works and what doesn't. And I know that my body digests ground beef or beef far better than it does other meat. And the fat in the bacon helps as well. So it'll be interesting to continue to document this. I just, I'm excited though, to say the least. And like I said, I'm extra motivated now because now I'm going to prove it to people. I'm going to prove that this is what others claim. And quite frankly, I'm looking forward to the newfound energy because I got so much things I have to do in, you know, on a day-to-day basis as a wife and mother of four. There's a lot to do as a homemaker. And then other things regarding work. And most times I just don't have the energy. And I need energy. Because this place is just, it's getting a little bit out of hand. I have a lot to do, and there's not enough hours in a day. So if I can use those hours more productively, I'm so excited about it. I really am. Because diary, I know I'm going to be a different person by the end of the month. I just know it. And that's something to be excited about. Because this time, there's nothing. There is no family vacation coming up, so I shan't be thrown off. I also thought it was worth mentioning, diary, I don't want you to get confused. I talk about being broke. And I don't want you to think that it's contradictory if I tell you that we went on a 1 month long family vacation. Because the truth of the matter is, it's not like we were on some exotic trip at some, you know, resort or something, a cruise ship or a hotel resort, nothing of the sorts. What I was referring to was when we visit my in-laws, which is a trip that doesn't cost us anything extra. We're not paying for accommodations. We're not paying for, you know, we're not paying for activities or attractions or anything like that. Literally the only thing that we pay for when we do that is our food, which we cook every night as though we were home. So I'm spending the same, if not a little bit less, than I typically would on groceries. I'm just going to the grocery store the way I would when I'm home and buying the same sorts of food and cooking them the same way I would as if I was home. And the gas that it takes for us to get there. That's it. That's the only thing we spend. So we're not spending outside of our usual budget. That's for the first half of the trip. And then the second half of the trip is when we go to our cottage. So it's not, and again, the only thing you're doing that you're buying groceries again too, the same groceries you would typically buy. Like it's not, you know, you might, when you're at the cottage, buy a little bit more booze than you would if you were at home. But besides that, I just wanted to clear that up for you because I thought about that afterwards and I was like, I don't want to give the wrong impression there. Trust me, we don't do fancy vacations. We don't travel like that. We don't buy luxury things. We don't buy designer clothing or designer accessories. I could really care less about brands and branding, so I'm pretty much happy with whatever so long as it looks nice. And we never, as I said, we never dine in, we never dine out. Like, the kids pretty much know, you know, a couple of years ago, they'd ask from time to time, can we order pizza? Can we do this? Can we? They don't even ask anymore. Like, it's not even, we do not spend for anything that isn't, like, immediately necessary. And we won't spend on anything that we can't immediately afford. So it's pretty simple. We have a very small budget and we just stay within that budget. We don't have massive amounts of credit card debt. We're not, you know, even our furniture is pretty outdated. For the most part, a lot of it is hand-me-downs from family members when we first moved in here. And like, we don't spend like other couples we know at all. We don't go on date nights. We don't go to the bar, the clubs, or the fancy restaurants. We don't buy all this furniture and clothing and purses and whatever. We just don't. Husband does have a taste for brand shoes. He is a shoe guy. However, he is also incredibly good at making his things last. So he can make a pair of Jordans. He honestly has a pair of Jordans that are older than our oldest child. And they're still in great shape. He buys a pair of shoes once every few years. And they last him. Like, everything is in good condition. I, on the other hand, typically buy my shoes from Amazon. So typically I have to upgrade a little bit more often, but they're cheap from the get-go. You know, I waited until Prime Day deals to get my last pair of shoes, the nice pair of summer sandals. They were originally $49.99, and I waited until they went on sale. I think they were $32.99 or something. So I paid $33 for these really nice summer sandals. But typically I will pay $20. Like, I have these other shoes, these black, just, you know, kind of slip on canvas shoes. Paid $20 for those. And so they will kind of run out, and I might need a new pair every year or two. But again, that's about the extent of that. And that is our budget. I don't know. Some people might find that pretty sad. And in all fairness, I don't know. I don't mind all that much. I don't need all this fancy stuff. I'm not like most women who want all the fancy eyelash extensions and hair extensions and the $170 nails once a month and the fancy, I don't even know, what are they, Louis Vuitton bags? I don't even know what would be popular right now. But, and you know, the Prada shoes and the this and the that. I don't care about that. I really don't. I don't care what, I think, quite frankly, Diary, I think it's so tiring and basic, especially to watch from an outsider's point of view. These people constantly chasing this certain status. And for what? So you bought a $4,000 purse. Great. How does that make you a better person? If anything, I think that makes you a not so thinking person, especially if you've got $48,000 in credit card debt. Just saying. I don't even need a fancy house. I mean, obviously, I have a dream house, which is pretty nice, but really, my main goals for how I just want something that's big enough for us, for six people, so that we're not walking all over each other. I just want everyone to kind of have their own space, and I want it to be big enough that it accommodates everyone in a cozy way. I still want it to be cozy. I don't need all this unused, like these massive hallways, which are basically bedroom size of just unused floor space. Like, that's not necessary for me. I just need something big enough for six people and two dogs. And that's that. In the country, preferably. Well, we wouldn't buy in the city anyways. So, in the country. I don't need much more than that. I'm pretty content. But speaking of money and materials and status, that does seem to be what society is largely driven by anymore. I was watching something, a video, where one was criticizing the onslaught of new videos which are generated by individuals promoting an AI approach to content creation. And this person picked up on the same things I did, which is largely that they're creating these videos with AI characters, AI generated scripts, AI generated images, and sometimes even AI editing, and then using it to promote a same business strategy, but with the advice, just pick a niche, any niche, throw spaghetti at the wall and see what sticks. And and the whole point is just so that you can say, hey, look, I make this money. I'm profiting. Look at me. And most of these guys start their videos or end their videos with proof of their riches, proof of the reward to their quote-unquote work, which is usually a montage of screenshots of their bank account and images of them in these fancy homes, driving these fancy cars, traveling. And it made me realize how many are driven by that. Oh, I want a Lamborghini. I want to be traveling Prague. I want a mansion with no real No real compassion for that which is going to create that for them. Their assumption is that these materials and wealth alone is going to create happiness for them. And I become so disconcerted by the thought that there are so many people out there that would happily settle for profit at the sacrifice of heart and soul and skill and passion and self-growth and learning. Like those who have nothing, clearly nothing to offer the world, because otherwise they would be doing that, but instead are also profiting off others' aspirations for materials and wealth. Because that is the strategy of these videos, is they show you all this, all these materials, and say, oh, I did this using this AI automation strategy to make videos. But they leave them vague enough that you still have so many questions. Well, how did you do that? How did you edit that video? Or how did you get that AI character? That the next step is you need to pay for their course where they will teach you these things. So really, the videos are just commercials for their courses. And if you pay attention to these people long enough, you realize they don't seem to have screws or light bulbs going on. You know, they don't seem to be the brightest bulb in the drawer, the sharpest tool in the shed. And yet people are paying them for their advice, because they themselves are desperate for money, materials, and status. And I want to make it clear that that is not at all my intention. I actually shudder at the thought of that. I couldn't do it. Diary, I have thought about it, and I'm like, I can't just create something that I have absolutely no passion for and then give it to the world with the hopes that it's going to profit me. And for the record, the profit that I want isn't to buy materials. It isn't to buy all these fancy things and buy the mansions and buy the fancy cars and whatnot. It's just to gain independence so I can stop relying on the system, and so that I can stop worrying about the system. It's so that I don't have to stress all the time about what is going on with the system. What's going on with government? What's going on with taxes? It's just to give me some peace of mind and escape the matrix that was created. And then to give that knowledge to my offspring so they can thrive as well, and hand that knowledge on to their offspring, and so on and so on. It's to escape being the product of the system. Not to become products of the system, which is what most of these people are, as far as I can tell. The make, get rich quick gurus. The get rich quick gurus. That is a tongue twister. Say that 3 times fast. The get rich quick gurus. Jeez, I can't do it. As far as I can tell, that's all they are. They're just products of the system. They will buy the things they've been told to buy. They'll buy into the things that have been marketed to them. They'll thoughtlessly consume content and materials that have no importance in life. And then they themselves perpetuate that same product system. They're just products. And the system knows that it can hook, line, and sinker people with promises of riches. I'm quite frankly kind of sick of that. That's not what I want at all. That's not my goal. And I think it's really sad that that is a lot of people in society today. And this whole status thing seems to be the product of Hollywood. You know, it all started in the 1920s with the silver screen starlets who promote this life of luxury and, oh, look at me, I'm on the big screen and I've got the life. But why is it that society thinks that's the life? I actually find it maddening that people act like Hollywood is like the be-all, end-all. You know you've made it if you're in Hollywood. It's like, why? I find that Hollywood is such a soul-sucking industry, location, culture. Most of the people there don't have two independent thoughts to rub together. They're just there because they want the Ferraris and the mansions and the swimming pool and, you know, the long fancy nails and the long pretty hair. That's it. Just so they can walk around and flaunt that to everyone else, because they know everyone else is like, ooh. But we need to understand why that's so lucrative. I tell you, I am far more envious of families, couples who have built these homestead ranches in the middle of rural land and have become self-sustaining members of society, passing those skills on to their children. Like these people who are, they've got their own cows for milk and they've got their own chickens for eggs and, you know, they're making their own butter and they're canning the vegetables from their gardens and they're eating whole foods like that. And they're family oriented and they've got this nice home away from all the hustly bustliness of the city. And where their neighbors, even if they're 5 miles away, are friendly, cohabitable families like themselves. I am far more envious of people like that than those who have more money than they know what to even do with. And for what? Because they can play pretend really well? Because they can sing? Like, I don't know. That's never really... It's ironic because I actually did grow up very much liking movies and stuff. But maybe there was a... I did like A-list movies, don't get me wrong. some of the classic blockbusters are classic blockbusters for a reason, and they are good films. They're good stories. I did lean a lot towards the lower budget movies. Those were some of my all-time favorite movies are low budget B movies, even C movies. And yet, yeah, that culture, it never really appealed to me. Like, I don't see this life of look at me, look at what I have, look at all my money that I don't know what to do with, as aspirational. It just, I don't know. It doesn't appeal to me. I just want freedom. I just want independence. I don't want to have to worry how I'm going to have to spend my next dollar, or how I'm going to afford that bill that went up $30 from last month. Yesterday, let me put this into perspective for you, diary, and then I think I'm going to close up. Yesterday, going grocery shopping, I said I needed $500. That was what I needed for groceries, and I contemplated it. I was like, do I really need that much? Can I maybe get away with not using that much? But I knew, because I've been doing this long enough, that nope, 500, that was the magic number. I realized I had to use 20 of that on gas, because I got in the car and I was like, crap, I don't have enough gas. So 20 of that automatically went to gas. My grand total change at the end of the night, the change I came home with was $1.05. In other words, I spent essentially $480 of, I spent the whole $500, basically. And I'm tired of having to be so stressed about it. Because then, like I said, I came home, realized I didn't even buy eggs. Then I realized I didn't buy the snack that my daughter wanted. Then I realized one of the snacks I bought nobody likes and is technically a waste. And it's stressful because I don't know when I'm going to be able to fix any of that. That's what I'm tired of, and that's what I want to escape. But I don't need so much food that I don't even know what to do with it. Or so much food that half of it's going to go to waste. I don't need that. I just need simple freedom. And that's really all I want in life. I don't know if I'm going to be able to talk to you tomorrow, diary. I'm going to try. But we have some family plans tomorrow, and I don't know when I'm going to get the time. But I do think that's a wrap for today. I have to go make dinner now. My stomach's actually starting to gurgle a little bit. And I'll talk to you later. Signing out. It's been real. Be well.